Well, good morning, everyone. For anyone who may not know me, my name is Katie Stallman. My husband and I are the senior pastors here, and he does most of the preaching here, but in the last couple weeks, he's had a lot of appointments and phone calls and services, and so he sort of wore his voice down this week, and so he's at home getting some rest, letting his voice gain strength. He has some upcoming commitments this week that he has to be at, and it requires him to speak, so he needed to save his voice. And so he gave me the blessing of being here with you today and sharing the word. I know you all come ready to receive. You've been well taught about receiving of the word. And so why don't we open here in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Pastor, I like what you said when you were up here, and you know, we were praying for those in darkness. And, you know, it matters that we pray, but how many of you know it matters what we do? And I like how you followed that prayer up and you said, not that we were just praying for those who are in darkness, but Lord, use us. Send us to people who need to know what the gospel says. Send us to those who need to know about salvation. And so that's sort of the crux of today's message is this, that we're not just going to listen, we're going to do, right? You know, if I gave my kids an instruction, it didn't matter that they just listened to me. They better do what I say, right? And so the same thing with the Father. He's such a good, loving parent and heavenly Father to us. He's not wanting us just to listen to his instruction from the Word, listen to his instruction through our pastor, listen to his instruction in our spirit. He wants us to do what we heard, right? And you know there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? You know, hearing is simply just picking up sounds and noises that are around you. And it is possible to come to church and just hear, right? Your mind is on other things. Your attention is on other things. You're making a to-do list in your head. You're making the beef roast dinner after church while you're here. You know, you're thinking about it, going over it, that problem at your workplace. And so you can be here and just hear. But it would be better if we came to listen. Because listening means we're paying attention. That we're focused on what the message is and we're concentrating on it, and we purpose that we're looking for what out of this message can I do. And so before I come to any service, whether it's one I preach, one my husband preaches, whatever church service I'm in, I come with this attitude. What am I going to do from this message? What is it that is being instructed to me that I need to apply to my own life? Because I'm not just here to watch what's going on. I'm not just here just to hear and let the words go past me. I need to do something about what I listen to, right? And so it matters what you listen to. You know, there's a reason I don't let my kids just listen to any kind of music. Why? Because what you hear has the potential to affect what you believe. And what you believe will direct your life. And so, you know, if you're listening to wrong music, you might want to reconsider that. Because even though you think, well, it's not affecting me, you know, when you hear something enough, you believe it. You know, I've told you this story before. We didn't have a dishwasher growing up. I was the dishwasher growing up. Seriously, I was. And so my mother always said, the dishwasher does not get the dishes clean. Now, I don't know why she said that. If she said that to make me feel better because we didn't have a dishwasher. But she always said, the dishwasher does not get the dishes clean, right? And so I believed her. I mean, she said it all the time. And so I never had a dishwasher until I moved into the house I'm in now. It came with a dishwasher. And so, you know, I still have to fight the temptation not to wash the dishes before I put them in the dishwasher. Why is that? Because my mother always told me the dishwasher doesn't get the dishes clean. And so even though it's not true, I'll tell you, I've washed plenty of dishes in there in the dishwasher, and if it doesn't get them clean, you know what I do? Run the second cycle. You know? Revelation is coming to me. I'm slowly not washing my dishes before I put them in the dishwasher. You know, or did you grow up like when you bring your dishes to the sink, you rinse them and then put them in the sink, you know, as a courtesy to the people doing the dishes, right? But anyways, I believe that. I believe the dishwasher didn't really get the dishes clean because I heard it enough. It didn't matter if it was true or not true. If you hear something enough, you have the potential to believe it. And so if you're listening to things you shouldn't, be cautious, be careful, because you'll be like me with my mother telling me about the dishwasher. Next thing you know, you'll be believing things you weren't meant to believe, right? And so today, let's hear what God has to say out of his word in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. You all are so ready to receive the word today. You came hungry and prepared to receive this meal. And the Lord is going to meet your need. You know, anytime before any service that I come to, I believe this for all those present, that, Lord, you would answer the questions of their heart, the things that they need to know concerning the direction of their life, raising their kids, their marriage, their family, their job, that all the questions within their heart might be answered, Lord. And so let's get the questions of our heart answered today. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 13. And it says this: take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And so aren't you thankful of the wisdom of the word that keeps your life? And that's really just an exhortation to us today, that the things that you hear, purpose to leave here and do it, right? We are not changed only by the things that we hear and that we listen to. We are changed also by the actions that we take, right? And so I want to share this with you out of the Message Bible. It's not a translation. It's just a paraphrase. So it's not a scholarly work, but it has good wording to it. It says this: hold tight to good advice. Well, I'd say the word is good advice, right? I mean, I remember when I wasn't saved and I needed some good advice. And when I got born again, I couldn't believe all the answers that the Bible gave to me, right? And so if you're looking for good advice today, you have come to the best place you could come to. This is better than any miracle drug you could take for depression. This is better than any appointment with your psychiatrist. This will give you the advice that's lasting. And it says, hold tight to good advice. Don't relax your grip. Guard it well. Like your life is at stake. And so we have to truly value the things that we listen to out of God's word. Amen. And so take note of this. Don't wait until you've lost something to listen, right? Don't wait until life is so hard. Don't wait until you're in a difficulty, you're in a trial. You've waited too long to listen to God's word. You've waited too long to listen to the instruction of the Spirit, to listen to your pastor, right? And so if we'll listen, we will be kept from things. He will guard us and keep us safe, avoid pitfalls that the enemy had for us. Aren't you thankful for that? Only God alone can do that. That's a supernatural supply. You might go to your therapist and they might give you advice for that day, but they can't keep you safe like listening and doing the word can. Amen. And so over here in Mark chapter 5, we're going to see an example from the word of someone who listened and did in what it brought them. Mark chapter 5. We thank you, Lord, for your help to our lives today. We thank you. We thank you. You know, there are times where if we've been in a church for a while, and there's been new people added to us, it's good to go back to some basics sometimes, because we forget as newer people come in that maybe they weren't instructed in those things. And so later on in the service, the Lord's going to give us some instructions of things we can do when we come to church so that we get all that we need to in a service. So here we are in Mark chapter 5, verse 25, please. And we'll read over to verse 29. And you remember the account of the woman with the issue of blood, right? This is not new to most of us. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been in situations like that, right? Where like, hey, this is going from bad to worse quick, right? And so listen to what she said and did. because we can't just lay back and hope it all gets better. There is a part on our side. Verse 27, and when she had heard. So again, it matters what you hear. We have to be in the church that God called us to so we hear the right thing. I don't know if you're aware of this because, honestly, we're spoiled here. We have such good teaching through our pastor and through the ministers that God brings us. And so do you know what happens? Spoiled people lose track of and lose sight of how good they really have it, right? Have you ever said to your kids, don't act spoiled, you know, or don't be spoiled? Why? Because they've lost sight of how good you gave it them, right? And so in this church, we have been taught the uncompromised word of God. And it matters that you're taught that. It matters what we hear. And so here she said, when she had heard of Jesus. See, there are some churches, they're not telling people things they need to hear, and the people are going without. If you don't hear about healing, you don't have healing. You know, before I knew the gospel and what it said concerning healing, I was always sick. I was never well. Why? No one ever told me I could be. But once I knew what the Bible said concerning health and healing and long life, I started to listen to it and apply it to my life, to actually do it. And so you can't have what you've never heard. And that's why it's so important where you go to church. Because some churches won't teach you about having financial freedom. Be a tither, be a giver, that God wants to bless you, that your cup runneth over, right? About living in peace and joy, having soundness of mind. You know, a lot of churches don't teach that. And if they don't teach it, we can't hear it and we'll never have it. So it mattered what this woman heard. So she heard of Jesus. I'm so glad I heard of him. Now she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. What was her touching? It was what she was doing with what she heard. She heard Jesus is coming, and she immediately took action. And so it's not just that we hear the message, not just today, but every time we come to church, what are you doing with what you listen to? What are you doing with the message that you heard? We all have to apply this. You know, I was in the office before Sunday school, and I said, Lord, I need this. I need Sunday school. I need main service. You know, when the word is preached here, whether it's me or Pastor Tim or some other minister, we need it. It's life-giving. So what are you going to take that you listen to and do? And notice what the woman with the issue of blood had after she did something. She was made whole. Do you need your finances made whole? Do you need your family made whole? Do you need your mind made whole? What is it that you need perfected that you need to do something about? Because many times we're just praying and trusting God, and that's only half of the equation. We also have to do something about what we're praying. Amen. So go over here with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. And we'll read verse 8 as well. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, and in the wilderness. Now listen to this in the God's Word translation. And you can look up any of these translations that I mentioned just online. I have an app on Olive Tree, and you can get that on your tablet or your phone and download some translations, but you can also get it online. And the God's Word translation says this: if you hear God speak today, don't be stubborn. Now, he wouldn't have to say that unless some of us have been stubborn, right? And I don't know about you, but I've been stubborn at times. And anytime I was stubborn, how many of you know it doesn't end up going good, right? You just realize that you're just going to have to make amends, make apologies, do it right in the end anyway. Don't be stubborn. He said, don't be stubborn like those who rebelled and tested me in the desert. And so we don't want to be those who have not listened. He said, if you're not listening, you're in rebellion. If you're not doing, you're in rebellion. You're being stubborn. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be found in rebellion, because rebellion is sin. And we know that God resists that. He has nothing to do with it. And so today we're going to hear some instruction for our life. And, you know, there were some things that were prompted in my spirit. And one of them is this, that a warning for us to not be offended with our pastor. That when we come, we are fully ready to receive what he ministers to us, and we're going to do something about what he ministers to us. Have you ever read the account in Matthew chapter 9 that says those without a shepherd are scattered and faint? One message says confused and helpless. We don't want to be scattered and faint, confused and helpless, because I don't know if you're aware, but it is possible for people to come to church on a regular basis and not really be there anymore. You know, I know you've never done this, but from personal experience, have you ever had conversations with your husband, you know, and or your spouse, and, you know, day one you're listening, day two you're listening, day three, you don't hear a word they said, right? You're just doing something else in your mind while they're speaking. And we can do that in relationships, and we can do that in church. And, you know, Lillian Yeoman said this. She said, when people are not right with God and they want to murmur but are afraid to find fault with him, they are apt to attack his servants. And so the reason that people get offended with the pastor is because they themselves are not right. They are not right before the Lord. They have something between them and God. They're angry. They're not where they should be. They're blaming other people. There's something not right in their heart. And, you know, have you ever taken thoughts you shouldn't? We've all taken thoughts we shouldn't, right? Taken those thoughts captive and not let them run free. But if you let them run free, you'll be deceived. And you'll think you know better than your own pastor. And so I'm not saying it's majority. It's just a warning that when we come, we don't just come here and attend, that we're here to listen and to do what he says, the instruction of the word through him. And so, you know, Lillian Yeoman's revealed something very important. People are actually angry or dissatisfied with God, and they know better than to accuse him, so they'll accuse his servant. And so let's just keep our heart right toward our pastor. Because you can be in a church and not have a pastor. Because having a pastor is not just attendance. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. And so my husband is my pastor. And I was telling Anna after Wednesday service that I went up to pray with Pastor Michael and Pastor Nancy Laketic a little while ago, and Pastor Michael corrected me on something. And I came home later that day, and I told my husband, and I said, you know, Pastor Michael mentioned this. He corrected me on some things. And he said, well, I could have told you that. And I thought, well, why didn't he? Because of me. Because I wasn't open to him saying that to me. And I made an immediate adjustment in my heart. And I said, I want you to know, from now until the rest of the time we're here, there is nothing you can't say to me ever. Because I needed to know that to keep me safe. I needed to know that to increase. I needed to know that for revelation and things concerning the future. And the fact that my pastor had something to tell me he couldn't say, it's a dangerous place to be. It is safe in protection for us to be in a place where we have our pastor in our heart and we love what he tells us, whether it's easy to hear or it's hard to hear. Go with me actually to Matthew 9, because I want you to see that. We need to look at this scripture. Sometimes you can just say it and refer to it, but Matthew chapter 9, go to verse 36, please. And I tell on myself so that you might see yourself in the story. What do you need to hear, but your heart has shut off to hearing? And I went to my husband and I said, never again will there be something you need to tell me that you feel you can't. From now on, I want you to know, everything you have to say to me, I receive it, whether it's hard to hear or not. You know, because some things are hard to be to hear, to listen to, right? That you need to make an adjustment on. But somebody's got to be able to tell us, right? It could cut our life short. It could cut your ministry short. It could, you know, cause damage in your finances. It could cause ruin in your marriage. Somebody has to be able to tell you the hard thing that no one else wants to say. And your pastor's anointed to do it. I don't know if you've noticed, but the pastoral anointing upon my husband makes it so easy to receive the things that are hard for him to say. I mean, sometimes I'm in a counseling appointment with him, and I hear the things he has to tell people, and I think, oh, my goodness. And they just go, thank you, Pastor. You know, like, it's like that pastoral anointing just makes it so palatable, you know. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, but when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do we have the amplified version of that? Not the classic, not the new one, the old amplified. I actually prefer the old one. I don't really like the classic as much. And my tablet sort of refers or reverts to the classic. We don't have it? Okay, just bring it up in the classic then. I thought we used to. When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them, because they were bewildered, harassed, distressed, dejected, and helpless. That's all the things that we are when we don't have our pastor in our heart. And we can come to church and not have that, not have him in our heart, not have him as our pastor. He's not just the pastor, he's my pastor. He's my pastor. You know, there are times when we're at home and there's, you know, his office is at home and there's church business, and I go to his office and I knock on the door and I have my pencil and my tablet and I say, is Pastor Tim available? And then he knows, I'm here for business, you know. I'm here for pastoral advice. We have to, my pastor. Not just any pastor. He's mine. He's mine in my heart. Amen. And so go over here with me, if you will. I want to share something with you out of James chapter 2. So we're not just attending, we're here in our heart to hear from our pastor so that we're not weak in this life. Amen. Go to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. What an honor to be part of this body. What an honor to be a part of this church family. We have it so good. You know, we help one another, we pray for one another. We support one another. You know, we are there for each other. Your church family matters. And you'll find that out more if you go through a hard time, right? And then when someone calls and said, you were on my heart today, I was praying for you. You know, we need each other. Pastor Nancy Dufresne was telling this account of an Amy Semple McPherson service. And there were five people up front in wheelchairs. And she went before the first four. And when she'd get to each one, she would say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And she would command them to come out of the chair. And the first four listened to what she said and then did what she said and got out of that chair. Now, when she got to the fifth person, she gave the same instruction. That person heard the same word the first four heard. And the person responded like this, I can't. And she said, I said to get out of the wheelchair, and she commanded them again. And they said, I can't. And she said, well, the first four couldn't either, but they did. Why? Because they were like the woman with the issue of blood. They heard, and then they did. And this person in the fifth wheelchair is giving a reason why they can't do the instruction they heard from the Lord. And it is always dangerous for us. We will be left in the place we are now with no further spiritual growth if we cannot receive instruction and do what that instruction is. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be left where I am. I'm too young for that. And my husband would not appreciate that. I want to go on to something more in the Lord, don't you? A greater revelation, a higher love walk, more close with the Lord, closeness with the Lord. You know, that people look to me and think, this person lives holy. If I needed an answer from God, they could tell me how to get it. Don't you want that? That you have a greater level of influence. Not that people follow you, that your words have power, that you can influence them to salvation. And this person, she said, I'm just going to have to leave you how I found you. Why? Because when they were given instruction, they gave an answer why they can't do the thing the Lord said do. And have you ever been told to do something you should do, whether by your boss, you know, a change you should make that your spouse mentioned, something your pastor said, and your immediate response is an excuse why you haven't done it yet or why you didn't do it how they wanted you to? And seeing that I'm telling it myself, might as well just keep it going. You know, I'll make you feel better about you by telling you my story. So this last week, not like 10 years ago, this last week, my husband needed me to help take care of something in the ministry. And I was working with Kelly Vick. It was something concerning the Erie Church, and she's the office manager there. And so I instructed her to do it a certain way that I thought Tim would want it done, right? Well, in the end, that's not how he wanted it done. But you don't always know that until you already did it. You know what I mean? And so I said to Kelly, I'm sorry if that got you in trouble, the way you had to do it, that you listened to me. And I said, just so you know, I told Tim it was all my fault. And she said, oh, I got corrected, but no worries. That doesn't bother me at all. I love to be corrected. And I thought, what a breath of fresh air. Someone who's correct, she never tried to defend herself. She didn't try to say, Pastor Katie told me to do it that way. She didn't try to say, that was the way I was told to do it, or that was the way I thought I should do it. Her answer was, I'm sorry, Pastor. You know, I'll do it better the next time. She just took ownership of it, made no excuse for it, no rebuttal, no talking back, and just accepted it. We have to be sober about the things we do that are not helping our lives, that we can make those adjustments, that when God tries to tell us about it, we don't say why we can't do it. You know, if you have children and you tell your children to do something and they talk back to you, it's not a blessing. What you want them to say is, yes, Mom, and go do it, right? That's what the Father's looking for, that we just say, yes, Lord, and go do it. It's not a blessing as a parent when your kids talk back. You know, actually, all of life over, we are never authorized to talk back except one situation, to the devil. If he says anything to you, spend all your talking back on him, right? Every time you wanted to talk back to your spouse, your boss, the Lord, anybody over you, use it all up on the enemy, right? You talk back to him when he tries to run your stuff, right? So you are authorized to talk back in one instance, just to the enemy. And matter of fact, we better be good at talking back to him, right? James chapter 2. Let me tell you a quote from Pastor Nancy. I'm still trying to get to James chapter 2. She said this, people don't listen for one reason. They think they know. The reason people don't listen to their boss, they think they know better. The reason people don't listen to their spouse, they think they know better. The reason the people don't listen to their pastor, they think they know better, right? And when you have an answer back to someone over you, you just think you know better. You've got pride and you want to justify yourself, right? So she said this, if you don't listen, it's for one reason. You think you know better, or you already know, right? And that's a dangerous place to be. James chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has no works? Can faith save him? Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. And so I show this because we know we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. It's a gift, the gift of salvation. But I want you to know it matters when you hear something, you put a faith act to it. Because if you don't put a faith act to it, you're going to lose what you heard. So the instruction that you have in your heart, that the thing the Lord's been trying to get you to do, the thing he's trying to get you to make an adjustment in, just make a step toward that immediately. Put your faith toward that and do it in the way where you make action. Put action to it. Now, it says in the NLT, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Save you from what? Difficulty. Save you from hardship in your body, hardship in your finances, hardship in your marriage. If we won't listen to him and do, he can't even rescue us. Because did you know your rescuing is not just on God's side? That your way out of a trial, out of a difficulty, out of a situation that's troubling to you is not just on God's side. Because in those times, he will always give you something to listen and to do, right? And so if you're in a time of great difficulty, a trial upon your body, just, sometimes it's just plain spiritual pressure because you purpose to go higher with him. And in that time, listen for what he wants you to do. Because we know there is never a trial or a temptation or a difficulty he has not already planned a way out. But I want you to know your exit door is with you, in case you were wondering. It wasn't that God stands at some golden door and lets you pass through. It's through what you do, right? If we'll just obey. And so I'm going to share two things with you that he would like us to obey in. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the help of the Holy Ghost. He's keeping us safe. You know he loves us enough to keep us safe. As a parent, if you don't protect your kids, you just don't love them, right? And so he's loving on us today. And he says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so the first thing that we can do is to present our bodies to him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Because how many of you know what you do with your body will affect your spiritual life, right? Have you ever, you know, had an evening where you just sat there and watched a movie and drank Pepsi and ate pizza? And how spiritual do you feel after that's over? No, not too much, right? It's hard to go pray after that because you feel like a slug, you know? You just feel like there is no movement here at all. And so what you do with your body does affect your spirit. It does affect your life, you know? And so we have to be careful what we do with our bodies. When have we as believers ever gone before the Lord and said, Lord, I present my body to you. I present my body to you. Not just our mind, not just the way that we think, not just our finances, not just our love walk. I present my body. And I know now that I've presented my body, you are going to give me an instruction I need to listen to. And when I hear it, I will do it. Right? So write this down in your notes. This is your challenge. You go before the Lord and present your body. Many times we have not done that before in our Christian walk. Lord, what do you want me to change? I'm willing to change. I present my body a living sacrifice. You know, Jesus never asks us to do anything he has not already done. Did he sacrifice his body for you? Oh, yes, he did. So could you sacrifice your body for him? Yes, you could. And you're not asked to go to the cross. You're just asked to give something up or lay something down or put something aside, right? And so he's not asking you to be crucified, although some people do think it's pretty close to that when they're asked to give up certain things. You know, I love chocolate. I'll be honest. I love it. My sister, she said, she texted me. It was Pastor Appreciation. She said, I have something to give you, a pastor. Could I come to your house? I think it was like in the 8:30, something like that. And I said, yeah, come on up. And she showed up at the door, and she had two brownie sundaes. Brownie sundaes are my favorite. And so I think Pastor Appreciation is every month, Sarah. You know, what's the thing you love? For me, it's brownie sundaes. I want the syrup. I want the peanut butter. I want it all. What do you love? What has a hold on you? You know, I was thinking about this. Have you ever heard the term sacrifice bunt? Now, I'm not real sporting, so I looked it up. But basically, it's this. In baseball, Reverend Randy can tell me if I get it wrong. Baseball, where the bunter knows they're going to get out, but they're willing to sacrifice their at bat that they might advance the other runners or runner, right? So when we make a sacrifice, we know certain things are going to have to go. Certain things are going to have to be out. Certain things cannot remain in our life anymore. But I want you to know, in the end, it advances things. There's more progress made. And it's not, you know that person who has the sacrifice bunt? It's not just for him. It's for his whole team. And when you sacrifice something in your body, it's for the whole team, all of us. Because when you have your body under, you can hear better the instruction in the thing that you might do, right? And I am not telling you to do this. I am showing you what we all must do, right? I have to do it as much or more as anybody sitting in this room. And so why don't you go over here with me, if you will, to James chapter 3, verse 16. So the first thing is to present our bodies. And these are just things that the Holy Ghost highlighted for this particular body, this particular church family. James chapter 3, verse 16. And it's not necessarily that maybe people haven't done it, but could we do it in a greater measure? Did you know that the more that you grow spiritually, the more that is required of you, right? I have noticed at certain times where, okay, all of a sudden, I don't know why, I just sense that the things I used to do, I can't do anymore. Now I'm going to have to make an adjustment. You know, if you think about your life now versus when you first got saved, you might have got away with a few things when you first got saved. But you fast forward 5 and 10 and 15 years later and so on, it's not okay anymore, right? I know for my boys, the things that were okay for them when they are 2, it's not okay anymore when you're 5 and 6. And the things you did when you're 5 and 6, those things are no longer okay when you're 8 and 11 or 9 and 11, right? So as you mature naturally but spiritually, there ought to be a change. There ought to be something that we're doing in a greater measure. Right? Great, more dedicated. So James chapter 3, verse 16. Here is the second instruction, to keep strife out. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So he said here, no strife, keep strife and envying out, because you want every evil work kept at bay. And I like how he followed that up with verse 17, because verse 17 will tell you what's the opposite of strife. So if you're not sure if you're strifing, see if you're doing verse 17, right? The Bible says, pure and peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated. Are you easy to be around? Are you? Sometimes, did you know you always think you're doing things you're not really? Like, it's just human nature to think you're a better spouse than your spouse, right? Like, I'm doing a better job than them. No, you're just opposite of them, right? So you're doing things they may not do, you know? But it doesn't mean you're better. And truth be told, we're not better, right? Honestly, that's the revelation I came to a long time ago, was that, hey, I'm not doing as good a job as I thought, right? I am the problem. And so are you easy to be around? Ask your spouse. Ask someone who would really tell you the truth and hold you accountable. And then, like me, when I went to my pastor and told him there's nothing he can't tell me anymore, expect the truth. And don't have a rebuttal and an excuse. Accept what they say. Because you may not be as friendly as you think, right? And as believers, we ought to be peaceable and gentle and full of mercy and easy to be entreated, right? You know, someone who is all of those things is fun and easy to be around. But the opposite of that is strife. And the main area I believe some people can miss it in is in their marriage, in family, you know, where so-and-so said this, another person said that. There's always a back and forth, a rebuttal, a problem. You always have something against somebody. You know, I noticed this. If someone has a problem with me, you know, that's no big deal. But if 10 people have a problem with me, I might need to pay attention that it's me, right? And so, you know, if one person tells you you're not real friendly, okay, no big deal. But 10 people tell you that you're hard to get along with, you're probably hard to get along with. And so just be sober. Where are your shortcomings? You know, what could you tighten up? And so let's not have strife in our relationships, because I don't know about you, but I want to keep every evil work at bay. You know, when we're in strife, all we're doing is helping the enemy. We're just opening the door to every evil work, right? And so go over here with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1:8. You know, people are depending on us to obey. They're not just depending on you to listen. They're depending on you to obey. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Listen, if something is not where we want it in our life, if we're not as happy as we want to be or thought we should be, if our finances are not where we want them to be, if our body is not where we want it to be, if our spiritual life is not where we want it to be, you know what we need to do? Take a deep breath. Change. Yes. Are you willing to change? Yeah. Because I don't know if you noticed, someone told me this week, I didn't get married until I was in my mid-30s, and I realized I had settled in my ways, right? You know, the older you get, the more settled you can be sometimes. And I just purposed before the Lord, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I have no preference. What you need me to change, I'll change. What you need me to adjust, I'll adjust. And so if something isn't where you want it to be right now in your life, you're going to have to listen for the instruction of the thing he wants you to change and then do it, right? We all have to do that. And people are depending on you listening, not just listening to your instruction, and doing something about it. You know, I thought about this. What about Jesus? What if he had just heard the will of the Father, just listened to the instruction from the Father, and never did it? Where would we all be? The gift of salvation would never have been brought. What about Mary and Joseph? What if they had only heard the instruction from that angel and the instruction Joseph received in the dream, and they had just listened to it and never did anything about it? How would someone's obedience that we have never even met affected our lives now? Your obedience to what he tells you to do affects people you don't even know. Affects people 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. You need to be obedient, not just for you and not just to please God, but for others. If you want to, if your heart is to help other people, to be a change to other people, obey. Listen and obey. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says this. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And so what I want us to see here is that we would observe to do all according to what is written therein. And so we have to have an instruction and then observe to do. Are you ready to do the instruction he gives you? We just go before the Lord with an open heart and say, Father, whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. It's as simple as that. And so our heart ought to be that. I believe there are three basic instructions that would help us in our walk with the Lord when we come to church. And I would like to share those with you. The first one is this, that our body language, our posture, and our face is right. When we come into a service, that our body language, our posture, and our face is right. Do you know Jeremiah 1 says, be not afraid of their faces? Why? Because sometimes people just give you ugly looks, right? Like, you aren't talking to me. You know, I've had people, not just recently, and they did this while I'm preaching. And so I'm not personally offended. Honestly, I have to keep my heart clear concerning those things. But what are they telling God? That posture tells God, you're not telling me anything. Did you ever cross your arms like that to your parents? Now, we were scared to do that, but once in a while we tiptoed around it, you know. Or your kids ever give that approach to you or one of these? You know, you think posture, body language, your face, it doesn't mean anything? Okay, all right. Until someone does that to you, right? Until someone has that attitude with you, you know, or, you know, you're talking to someone and they're like this. See, body language means something. And so when I come to church, I want to be like, Lord, what do you have for me? I'm ready. I'm here to receive your instruction. You're trying to protect me. Tell me what it is and I'm going to do it, right? And so that we look excited and we act excited about the word, right? The second is this. Bring your Bible to church, and not just your Bible, but a notebook. You know, when I go before the Lord and I'm going to pray, I have my prayer notebook open. I have a pen there and a piece of paper because I'm showing the Lord, I want you to speak to me. And what you say is so important, I'm going to write it down. And it's not that we're writing down everything that's said in a sermon, but the pieces that we need to do, right? You know, have you ever needed to go to the store and you just needed three items, right? And you decided you didn't need a list because you're sure you're going to remember these three items. I don't need to write this down. It's mostly the husbands. No, I'm just kidding. Just waking you up. You know, you tell them you need three things. No, I don't need a list. And so you go to the store, and you come home with 20 items, and only one of the items that was on the list is in the bag. And yet when you went, you were sure you knew what you needed, what you had to get, and what you needed to bring home. I mean, it's only three things. And yet you only got one, right? And that same thing is true in service. We think we don't need to write it down because we're going to remember it. But we get home and we only have one of the three things that was on our list. Because we think we're not going to forget. And so write down the things you need to do. And you know, we don't want to get to the point where we only half obeyed because we didn't pay attention. And so write down the things he says to you to do. and then take it home so you won't forget, right? Because all of us just think at the time, it's easy to remember, I'll never forget this. But we do, it's just human nature, right? And so bring a pencil and a notebook and write it down. And go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. And we're almost done. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. You all have listened and received the word so well today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. If someone can't preach here, they just can't preach, because you all just received the word so well. And you are to be commended for that. Because you know when you receive well, you'll be blessed with things that other people aren't blessed with. That things will be said for you and done for you that wouldn't be done for someone who wasn't listening or paying attention. He'll tell us things we needed to hear. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so it is possible, out of everyone that's here today, that, you know, we've all heard it. We've all heard what the word said, but it is possible only a portion of us will actually profit from it. The ones who profit are the ones who do. He said this, if it's not mixed with faith, it's not going to profit you. And we know if you're in faith, you're taking an action. And so don't just be someone who came and heard the instruction and didn't do anything about it because it won't profit you. It does not profit you to just come into service and just listen. You have to actually do something about what you listen to, right? And so the last thing is this, the third thing. Come expecting to receive something for you. To receive something for you. You know, it's easy sometimes to come into church and want something for your spouse. Like, oh Lord, while we're here today, fix them. While we're here today, straighten that out. Well, we're here today. Oh, did you hear that? Because you needed that. And it's real easy to do, right? Because you know their shortcomings. You live with them. So when we come to church, come to receive for you. Not hoping your spouse is getting what they need and God's fixing them and rearranging them and getting on their case. That you come focused on what you need to receive from the Lord. Right? That shows a good heart toward him. And so like we said in Hebrews, it is possible that the word is preached and it doesn't profit you. Why? If you're focused on, I hope they're hearing, I hope they get theirs, I hope they have what they need, you know, you're not focused on your part. I don't know if you know this yet. This was a big revelation to me. I cannot change my spouse, right? We can only change us. I'm ready to change. Are you? I just want to go higher with him. Whatever he says, we'll do. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you for the word that we listen to and we will now do. All that you instruct us through our pastor, in your word, and in prayer, we will promptly obey that. And Father, as we do, you said, Father, we would be profited if we'd mix faith with it. So Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your instruction in the word. Father, we thank you. Your first instruction to us is to know you as Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Father, you sent your son Jesus that we might know you. And so, Father, we just thank you. If there's anyone here and you have not asked the Lord into your heart, but you would like to, I would ask you to raise your hand and we will all pray together with you. If you don't know if you're going to go to heaven, when you pass from this life, you need to be sure. And you can be sure of that by asking the Lord to be your Lord and your Savior. If you've never made that decision for Christ, I just ask you to raise your hand and we'll all pray for you. We'll all pray with you. I don't see any hands. If there's anyone here and you would like to rededicate your life, that you know him as Lord and Savior, but maybe you haven't walked with him like you should recently, or you've walked away from him, or you've just been in disobedience and you would like to come back and right fellowship with him. If you raise your hand, we'll all pray together. Is there anyone that would like to rededicate their life? I see that hand and I see that hand. Is there anyone else that you'd like to pray that prayer? So let's all pray this together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your great mercy. We ask you to forgive us for when we've missed it. And we thank you, Lord. We come now into right fellowship with you. Father, we will now do all that you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it so good and so refreshing just to listen and do? That's our safe place, isn't it? Why don't you stand with me? Let's worship him. Father, we thank you for your word today. We honor and glorify you. We praise you, Master. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.